When I was first ordained, in fact, I think it might have been the first year after my ordination, I was visiting my mother in my hometown for the Christmas holidays, and I went to my home parish on the Sunday after Christmas. And the rector, who was a friend of mine, saw that I was there, and he said, "Oh, say, how would you like to preach?" I suspect what was going on was that he either hadn't had much time to put in the preparation of his sermon, it coming right after Christmas, or he figured he could kill two birds with one stone, giving himself some time off and letting me have a chance to try out my newfound skills. But in any case, I did get to preach. I have some recollection of what took place, but the important thing was that everybody there knew me. My Sunday school teacher was there, the superintendent was there, the people that had helped me through, the people that had put up with me in the various escapades that I'd been involved in. They all knew me. They knew that it would be nice to see if there'd been any improvement on the product that they were familiar with. So I always identify a little bit with this story because I kind of know what it must have felt like to Jesus and to those people in that situation. They were curious as to what had gone on with him, curious as to what he had to say, and curious to see what God had been up to, not only in the outer world, but maybe what God had to say or to do in their own midst. They wanted a firsthand experience of the presence and the power of God in their lives. Well, I can't say that those folks in my hometown had that experience the first time I got there. But Jesus responded to their desires. They said to him, in point of fact, you know, show us something. Let's have a little show and tell. Can you really do all these great things? And they were looking for something marvelous. They'd seen and heard about a lot of things that had been done. They'd heard about people being healed, about the apparent fulfillment of prophecies. He'd made certain claims at the beginning of the sermon, in fact, that he was going to fulfill some of those prophecies. He was promising something that they longed for. The action of God in their present world, in their lives, and they wanted to see some of it. So they asked Jesus to show them what he'd been doing in other places. Now, interesting thing is that he gave them exactly what they wanted, and they didn't like it. Because what he did, in fact, was show them something which they really longed for, but couldn't quite appreciate. He told them two stories, because what Jesus had been doing, much more than his miracles and raising the dead and all those other things, he had been teaching. He'd been showing people how to see God, how to experience God, how to get in touch with God, how to know God. And so he told them two stories to open up for them that possibility. But he did it in a way that they weren't expecting. And so they were angered and irritated. When I was in the service, I was in basic training. And one of the things that you go through in basic training is they teach you how to shoot a rifle. And so we'd been a couple of times to practice on the firing range. And now came the big test. This was the one which decided what kind of marksmanship award you got. Were you going to get just a marksman? Were you going to get a sharpshooter? Or were you going to be an expert? And it was really important, not so much for the medal that you would get to wear, but for the fact that it was a kind of rainy, miserable day, and people who got expert got to ride home in a truck, and everybody else had to walk home after the test. While I was shooting, I was having rather successful time. I was knocking down those targets off in the distance, and people began to gather a little bit. The range officer was behind me, and you could hear people talking. And finally, it got down, went to the very close to the end, and the range officer said to me, you've only got to get one more and you're in the truck. And I looked and I scanned and he said, it's right in front of you. I never did see it. It was probably right here. So I didn't make the expert. I didn't join those who were supposed to ride home in the truck. But you know, I learned an important lesson. And it's a lesson that Jesus was trying to teach us in that passage that we hear today. He was saying to the people, the answer to your desire to know God is that God is right in front of you. Now think about that a minute. Most of us in some way would like to know God or know God better than we do. There's something in us that longs to experience God. It's in our DNA. We can't help it. We desire God. We are often disappointed in that search. Sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes, occasionally, we experience that. Some few, perhaps, have experienced it in a regular and consistent way. But there is that longing for us, just as those people who heard him that first day in his hometown longed to hear him say something about God that could turn on some lights for them, that could open some connections, could help with their communication with God. They longed for God, and Jesus said, it's right in front of you. And then he told them these stories to illustrate what he meant. They didn't like the stories because the stories, like those Zen koans that you hear when you're doing the little thing that's supposed to, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You know, well, his stories were about that same kind of thing. He told the story of Naaman the Syrian, a great general, a powerful man up in the high ranks of leadership in the nation of Syria, who had had leprosy. Naaman was a man who had all sorts of power, who could call in anybody. He had the king on his side so they could move mountains to get somebody to cure him, but nothing helped him. And then he listened to the advice of a young woman whom he had captured, who was serving in his household, and said, there's a God in the country that I come from. There's a prophet in the country that I come from who can hear you. And Naaman listened. High and powerful and full of knowledge, but he listened. He thought he knew everything. He should have known everything. He was well educated. He was powerful. He had authority. He had connections. He was there. But he listened to a little servant girl who told him something that he didn't know. He trusted and he tried. Now, he didn't do that just once. That wasn't one naive incident, because he did it again. He got to the country where even the king didn't seem to know very much about this God or this prophet. He had to ask for advice. And he went to Elijah, and Elijah said, well, go on the wash in the river, and you'll be clean. And Naaman's natural, spontaneous reaction to that was, we've got rivers where I come from a lot greater than this creek. Why would I do such a thing? I'm a great man. I don't dip myself in muddy, messy, silly rivers in a foreign country. But he listened to the advice of one of his aides. And the aide said, well, if he told you to do something really big, would you have done it? Sure you would have. Well, then why don't you do this and see what happens? And he listened to the aide. You see, Naaman practiced something which is the beginning of seeing God, and that is being open to the things we don't understand, being willing to look at the things we don't like. Sometimes those are intellectual things, and I think probably in our day and age, we tend to respond intellectually to that kind of question. But it might also be to some trial or tribulation, some problem that presents itself. It could be a physical problem. It could be a life problem. Things that we don't understand and this is where it gets tough, the places where we don't understand why God is letting it happen, or the things when we asked for help and it didn't get corrected, the things that are difficult or things in our world where there seems to be difficulty or stupidity or failure in one way or another that is impinging on us. And our tendency is to say, see, I asked God and he didn't help me, or let me get away from this situation, to turn and run in the other direction, or to write off God. And it is in that moment often that we need to be aware, to listen, to see what the lesson is there to be learned, what is really in front of us, even if it be only to get down on our knees and pray, or to wait, or to be kind, or to practice love in a situation where we are not expecting to have to practice, where we don't feel like acting loving. Finding those situations that are right in front of us, and in all humility, learning the lesson and being faithful. And Naaman was healed. It bothered those people because Naaman was a foreigner. And that has some interesting lessons in itself. He wasn't in the present context. He wasn't a good Episcopalian. He wasn't even a Christian. But he still had something going on in his life that God was taking an interest in, and there was still something to be learned from him. The humility and the response and the attentiveness that he had. The same was true of that Syrophoenician woman. I'm not going to tell you all that story. We'd be here until the Super Bowl started, which I don't want to do. But the fact of the matter is, she too was a person who responded, this time seeing in her own difficulty, in her own problem. She was starving to death. The famine didn't just exist in Israel. It existed in that whole part of the world. She was down to her last food, and this guy who claimed to be a man of God came to her and said, give me something to eat. Share what you have. Share what you have with me, and I'll make sure that you never run out. She shared even when she couldn't really imagine how that could happen. She shared with another person. She understood that it is not just by ourselves that we have problems, but that we live in a community, that we're here to share, that we're here to care about other people, that we're here to reach out to others. And from our perspective, that is what Christians are all about. It's not just about having a better life. It's about making somebody else's life better. Jesus is trying to communicate this to these people, and all they can see, he's down in the Jews. He's down in our religion. He's not respecting us. He doesn't appreciate us. And so they got mad. What would have happened to that country, I wonder, or that nation, or that part of the world, or that town, if they'd listened? Probably they still would have taken a pretty bad beating as they did under the Romans. But there's some people there whose lives would have been changed, who would have gotten the answer to their question about where is God active? What is God doing? What are you doing? Show us that God is here. They would have seen the answer. They would have begun to experience that God was, in fact, not somewhere far off, but present in their town and in their midst. Jesus brought them the simplest of all answers to their question. Not some great and dramatic act of healing or chance transforming the world or moving a mountain or bringing down fire from heaven, but by opening to them the possibility of knowing and experiencing God in their daily lives, in their world, in their own personal sharing of what they had. Jesus invites us to that same thing, but we have to remember and appreciate the very same lessons, to look at the world through the lens of Naaman and the Syrophoenician woman in their humility, in their generosity, in their willing to learn new lessons, in their willingness to share, and in that to discover that, in fact, God is right in front of us. Amen.